I'm Kai Wright, host of the United States of Anxiety, a podcast from WNYC. I'm in for Tanzina Vega, who'll be back on Friday. And vaccine hesitancy is where we start on The Takeaway today.
When I came into office, you may recall, I set a goal that many of you said was that kind of way over the top. I said I intended to get 100 million shots in people's arms in my first 100 days in office. Tonight, I can say we're not only going to meet that goal, we're going to beat that goal.
As the Biden administration ramps up its vaccination campaign, more and more Republicans are expressing skepticism about getting their COVID-19 shot. According to a CBS News poll, a third of Republicans have said they won't get vaccinated, with another 20% saying they're unsure. That's compared with just 10% of Democrats hesitant about getting vaccinated. At the same time, recent polling suggests that Black and Latinx Americans have become as willing, if not more willing, to get vaccinated than their white counterparts. There were some concerns early on about the possible hesitancy of these populations to get vaccinated, given the many ways that people of color encounter racism and prejudice inside the medical system. And while vaccine enthusiasm overall is on the rise, the Biden administration is kicking off a sweeping campaign to reduce vaccine hesitancy and combat misinformation in the weeks ahead, so that every eligible adult in the U.S. can and will get their shot. With me now is Dr. Leticia Ilopre, an assistant professor of infectious disease at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Dr. Ilopre, glad to have you with us.
Hi, happy to be here.
Also with us is Dan Diamond, a national reporter investigating health, politics, and policy for the Washington Post. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Kai, how are you?
I am well. Thanks for asking. So, Dan, let's start with a seemingly straightforward question. Why are so many Republicans hesitant to get vaccinated?
Well, I think it depends, Kai, which Republicans you talk to. But as someone who's reported on this for the Post for several weeks, I think the biggest concerns come down to concerns I've been hearing for months across a lot of demographic groups. They're worried about how fast the vaccine was developed. Some think that the risk of coronavirus is overblown. But I think the reason Republicans have cottoned on so much to this is because many believe that coronavirus, the response, and more recently the vaccine, has been used as a political weapon, first against President Trump last year leading up to the election, and more recently that President Biden and his team are using politics to shape the response as well. And that dates back to some of the resentments that President Trump stoked during the virus outbreak last year and the ways that he attacked public health and blamed his election loss in part on what he claimed was an effort to submarine him using the outbreak. So I think that's where public health efforts really have their work cut out, trying to convince these Republicans to take politics out of public health.
The former president, Donald Trump, said on Fox last night that he encouraged his supporters to get vaccinated. Do you think that would matter to them, Dan?
I think it's definitely a good thing, but how much of a good thing is unclear. I had reported, I guess about a week ago, that pollsters like Frank Luntz, longtime Republican pollster who's now working on vaccine hesitancy, they believed that if President Trump just came out and told Republicans, go get this shot, that would be powerfully motivating. But then I watched a focus group that Luntz convened of about 20 Trump voters. He asked them, how important is it if President Trump tells you to go get a shot? And to a person, they all said that they'd rather hear from their doctor, they'd trust their spouse more, which makes sense. But I think it also shows that President Trump might not be the single answer here. Their hesitation was they've heard from politicians for months about coronavirus. They don't trust politicians at all, even the one that they voted for.
Dr. Ilopre, can you help pull this apart a little bit from a public health perspective? First off, we're in public health circles. Does this come as a surprise, this concern and this reluctance amongst this particular group of people?
You know, I don't really think anyone's surprised by this. I think that even in the beginning, when we were seeing early polling, trying to understand which communities would have hesitancy towards vaccines, a lot of emphasis and publicity was placed on Black and brown communities. But it was noted that there was also hesitancy amongst this group as well. I think that what we've seen that's been different is that there has been a grassroots effort with Black community members, especially leaders and trusted figures within Black communities, going out and having multiple town halls, as well as Latinx communities, to try to change opinions and really, I think, spread knowledge in a way that hasn't been done across all communities.
And so just to focus a second on that success story amongst Black and Latinx communities, what exactly, you said it's part of it is that there's been this effort. What are some of the details of that effort that succeed that might then translate to other hesitant groups?
You know, we've seen this with other pandemics before in other countries as well. When you have opinion leaders go out and have multiple town halls and change the opinions of people within their social circle so that people can go out to their friends and families and say, I heard from this trusted person within our community about the vaccine and I'm going to get it. You slowly see this diffusion of innovation where opinions change across the community. And it often takes more than one time. I think we have to get that same leadership on the other side across the aisle, going out and having these multiple town halls, these multiple personable discussions, so that you have this change across social circles.
Dan, how do we understand all the sort of contours of the hesitancy amongst Republicans? Is it just about COVID vaccines, or is there a larger vaccine skepticism at play?
You know, Kai, I was asking about that because I think in the popular imagination, anyone who doesn't want to get a COVID vaccine after this horrible year that we've been through, what must they be thinking? And I know that I am so eager to go get my shot. But Republicans that I've spoken to, both in this story recently about the focus group and certainly before, they're insistent. They are not against all vaccines. They're nervous about this one because of how fast it was developed and how much they think politics has played a role in coronavirus. So mm-hmm. They said in this focus group, they've gotten shots for other, say, childhood diseases. They've had their kids go get shots. It's just the coronavirus vaccine that they're balking at for now.
Which on some level is hopeful, right? That means that in fact, some of the things that Dr. Elopre is talking about might work, that you could, that this is a persuadable question as opposed to something that is based in ideology.
I think it's totally hopeful. The focus group that I watched, Kai, I've done some interesting reporting, I think, over the past year. It was certainly on the short list of most fascinating experiences reporting during the pandemic. There were 20 Trump voters who came in. One dropped off pretty quickly. But of the 19 left, nearly all of them were more likely, if not very interested, in getting the vaccine at the end of this 2.5-hour focus group, which suggests that there are ways to reach holdouts and skeptics. It just may take persistence and the right messenger.
Right. So we're talking about Republicans and the polling there. But Dan, are there other notable trends in who is and is not willing to get vaccinated that we should be aware of?
Well, I think the doctor is correct that there has been broad concern about communities of color and some of the hesitancy that showed up in earlier polls. So that is trending in the right direction. And in speaking to public health messaging experts, a lot of the concerns are not so different. People have questions about why the coronavirus vaccine came along so quickly. I think there are good answers, including that the work that led into the coronavirus vaccine was not so different than other vaccines. It just red tape was cut to get rid of what usually would be empty spaces, months of waiting, perhaps, between approvals and trial results. The other issue that I think cuts across groups is simply access and where one might go to get the vaccine. At this point in the process, average doctors are not administering shots. You might have to go to a big vaccination site. And that would very much change not just the messaging, but how folks are making the decision to get the shot. If it's with someone that they've been getting medical care for years, that would seem to augur a lot better.
Right. Dr. Lopre, some European countries just announced they'd be suspending the use of the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine. How does news like that land in this context? Do you worry that that will further vaccine hesitancy in the population in general?
I do. You know, I actually just did a town hall where that was brought up, and the question as to why it hasn't been in the news that people are dying after they get the vaccine. And I tried in that town hall to really, again, spread information and knowledge that we unfortunately have adverse events with vaccines across the board. It's just not publicized. And because COVID is so much in the news right now, and the pandemic is at the forefront of everyone's minds, we're hearing about all of these bad outcomes, but in actuality, you look at outcomes across vaccines, it's actually less than what we've seen with COVID compared to flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And what about the details, just so people get it, of the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine? What exactly do we need to know about the risks or not?
You know, I think that whenever anybody chooses to get a vaccine, it's interesting. It's become so normal to say, okay, I'm going to get my childhood vaccines. I'm going to get my flu vaccine. And we don't always think about the risk that's associated with getting a vaccine. And with COVID, we are in a state where we're always thinking about the risk. But I would really encourage people to think and pay attention to what the death toll has been when it comes to the pandemic. And overall, that individual risk, yes, take it into account, but think about your loved ones that you've lost or your friends that have died in isolation. I think from a greater picture, from a greater goal, we have to take that into consideration from a public health standpoint.
Dan, the Biden administration is launching this huge push now to combat vaccine hesitancy. What do you expect to hear, and what do you think will work?
The Biden team has been working on this push for some weeks. My understanding is it's still a little bit away, but there have been multiple messaging campaigns from folks like the Ad Council, this private sector consortium that is running ads across media. And the messages, Kai, I think are pretty consistent that vaccines overall are safe. This one is as safe and tested as others have been. It went through trials with tens of thousands of people last year, that health professionals, doctors, they're overwhelmingly getting the shot when they are given the opportunity. That seems to reassure Americans. And then, as the doctor just said, this is about recapturing moments that were lost, getting back to being with family that you might not have seen in months. And getting a shot is a path back to normalcy.
Right. Well, we will all need them in order to get back to that normalcy. So let's hope we can get there. Dan Diamond is a national reporter investigating health politics and policy for The Washington Post. And Dr. Letitia Ilopre is an assistant professor of infectious disease at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Thanks to both of you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.